Adam Peters is addressing all of the roster decisions he and his staff made in the last 24 hours, also talking for the first time since trading Jahan Dotson. We'll have Peters' press conference for you at 5 o'clock today in 1 hour, right here on Grant and Danny, so make sure you're listening at that time. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning the tickets everybody wants. We got two tickets to see Kevin Hart acting my age tour Sunday, September 15th at a great venue, DAR Constitution Hall. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Still chances for you to win tickets on Thursday and Friday right here ahead of the Blitz at 4 o'clock.
Awesome prize. That is, hey, that venue is so damn cool. It's about 3,700 people is what it holds. You are not going to see Kevin Hart in a better space than that. That is awesome.
I was talking to one of the ushers over at Nats Park yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, I drive over to the ballpark every day at the same time. I always get to listen to the beginning of the Beltway Blitz. And he said, it would be really nice if you guys started with the Nationals on the Blitz so that I could hear it because I got to get out of my car normally.
Oh, I see that.
Midway
through
the segment.
Sure.
And because he asked that question, we will be starting the Blitz with the Nationals.
Isn't that nice?
Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com joins us now. Bobby, I'm steamed up for the lineup. Dylan Cruz leadoff, James Wood batting second. Let's let the kids play baseball, huh?
Yeah, this is exciting. I mean, looking at those two names at the top two spots kind of gives you the vibe that we had on Tuesday night, or Monday, I guess it was, when Dylan made his debut and David Martinez put him right between C.J. Abrams and James Wood. You kind of wish that C.J. was performing a little bit better so he could stay in there and still have those three going up there at the top of the lineup, because ideally, you know, some configuration of those three is going to be your top of your order in the years to come. But yeah, Dylan Cruz had a great night last night, his second game, did his first two hits, stole a bag, scored a run, made some impressive plays in the outfield as well. So yeah, let the kid hit and lead off and see if he can get on base ahead of James Wood.
The way we'll remember it is they were two line drive ropes into the gap and not a ball that went 4.5 feet and was kind of a squibber, like a mass sail, like a pool trick shot that he ended up beating out to first, Bobby. But, I mean, to me, last night was perfect because I was saying this earlier to Grant. Everything that he does, right, I don't think there's one super incredible skill, but it's all good. And you saw all of the good things last night. He checked pretty much every box you can check as a ball player.
Correct. Everything he does is good. Is maybe even above good. He does everything right now at like a B level, and with the potential of being A plus at everything. You know, he's not going to have the natural power that James Wood has, but that's okay. You don't need him to. You need him to get on base, be quick. And he even said after the game that, like, you know, he really likes how the Nationals have an aggressive approach, because that's how he likes to play. He likes to, you know, hit balls in the gap and turn singles into doubles. He likes to steal bases. He likes to be aggressive in the outfield. So I think what we saw last night just kind of showed a little bit of everything he did. The two things that really stood out to me from Dylan last night was, one, on that, you know, chopper bunt single, when the thrower to first got away from the first baseman, Dylan, while his helmet was coming off, just threw off his helmet and took off for second. Like, how many times have we seen CJ, James, Louie, you know, try to keep the helmet on and slow up, trying to get to second, get thrown out? He just said, nope, I don't need it. I'm going to run to second base. And then that catch in the ninth in that corner over there in right field where there's a little angle that comes out. We've seen guys who have played that outfield 100,000 times have struggled with that angle. And he came in, made the catch, and made a spin and was ready to throw back into the infield with guys on base. So those two really stuck out to me, not even the double to lead off the night, but those two plays really stood out to me last night.
There's going to be ebbs and flows for everybody. James Wood's been splendid. The numbers are really good, and yet, you know, he's 0 for his last three games. He's 2 for his last 16. I thought he got screwed a couple times last night. I thought he should have gotten a hit on the error where he with his speed, forced the fast throw and beat a play out. That was an errant throw off the bag. And then secondly, he got called out on strikes on a play that was several inches, a pitch, you know, well off the plate in. I guess I just have to get over it with him. But I'm telling you, because of his size, I really believe this, it messes with umpires. There's been pieces written about this with Aaron Judge and how many low strikes and just bad strike calls against him have happened. Umpires are not used to the strike zone being what it's supposed to be when James Wood is at the plate or something. But this guy gets more balls called strikes against him than anybody I've seen with the Nats in a while.
Right, and I think the last person that got called, you know, balls against strikes like that was, you know, hate to bring it up, but Juan Soto early in his career. I mean, Juan Soto had such a great eye at the plate, and when he was a rookie, he wasn't getting calls. He wasn't getting the benefit of the doubt from umpires. And now we see later in his career, he's really established himself as one of, if not one of the best eye at the batter's box. So if Juan Soto doesn't swing at the ball, it's probably not a strike. And I think James Wood has a very similar eye at the plate right now. And I know which pitch you're talking about where he got completely screwed, and that was not even close to being a strike. I think James has done a really good job of staying level-headed, staying within himself, not expanding his zone. He knows what he's looking for, and I think you live with those, unfortunately, for right now in his rookie year. But as his career progresses, he's going to start getting those calls because hopefully either we'll have robotic umpires or umpires will have adjusted to his size.
Bobby, super quick, batting average, 296, 308, and 330. That's not a guy that's getting hot. That's batting average allowed by Mackenzie Gore in the months June, July, and August, respectively. His stuff is too good for that, man. What have you seen?
I've seen him be better his last two outings. I know that one inning in the sixth against Philadelphia kind of got away from him, but he was solid in Atlanta after giving up that leadoff home run to Michael Harris, the second, I believe it was. You know, six innings, just that one run, no walks, which was huge. I think for him, you know, he needs to attack the Yankees. You know, it's kind of crazy to say, but like how Patrick Corbin attacked him last night, you know, using all three of his pitches, maybe incorporating his changeup a little bit more, trying to set them up, keep it low and away from those big power bats, and trying to paint those corners and make them chase his stuff. Because if Patrick Corbin can do it, you're right, Mackenzie Gore has better stuff at this point than Patrick Corbin does, so he should be able to do it as well. We know he likes to get up for these big kind of games. The Yankees definitely fit that criteria, so hopefully he can harness that and have a good night tonight.
I always say that with their young pitchers. Do it like Patrick Corbin did. You know what I mean?
You know.
The way he did
it. Follow that example.
Crazy out of my mouth, guys. Trust me.
It's so funny. Bobby, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
See you, dude.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
He was masterful last night. Corbin, not Bobby, but Bobby.
I thought Bobby was great.
Bobby probably was really good, too.
The shtick in the elevator on the way up, remember that?
That was very good
shtick. How funny was he?
Bobby's the best.
He's got like 19 seconds and he crushed.
Bobby from the bullpen.
Bobby Blanco.
Let's keep it going on the Blitz. Mike Jones covers the NFL for The Athletic, joins us now on Grant and Danny. Mike Tomlin names Russ Wilson the starter over Justin Fields. How long a leash do you think Russell Wilson's going to have?
You know, it all depends because, look, if he is able to play within the system that they're putting around him, which is going to be a run-heavy offense, and then they'll take shots downfield, which is what Russell Wilson does well, if they're able to put points on the board, then I think that he'll stay there. But say that, you know, he's, you know, not doing as well doing those things. Say the magic is, like, run out, and he isn't able to turn back the clock to be something similar to what we saw in Seattle. Then I think that, you know, we'll see Justin Fields come in there. I don't know if it's midway through the season or if it's by, you know, November down the stretch or whatever. But I think that if they get off to a slow start and you're starting to feel that heat as other teams start, you know, their offenses are taking off and they're kind of just stuck and anemic, I do think that you will see Justin Fields wind up taking over now. Can he hold on to that job? Because when I was asking people about him, they said, look, he's had some flashes, but he still has got work to do in the pocket. He's still a little late. His timing's a little off, and his decision-making's a little bit slow. But Russell Wilson is a guy that's got more experience, and he's quicker getting the ball out and things like that. So for now, that's why they're going with Wilson, and they'll see how the progress of Justin Fields goes along as the season progresses.
When do we see Drake May?
That's another one. I think that it kind of depends on what their season is looking like. If they are competitive and they're in games and they're not out of the picture, then I think they'll continue to have Jacoby Brissett because they don't want to throw Drake May out there way too soon. But say that, you know, it's headed towards past Thanksgiving and they're out of it, then there's no point in just keeping Drake May on the bench. You might as well start getting him some reps for next year.
Am I crazy that I am already worried a little bit about Gerard Mayo as a head coach?
I don't know if you're. I don't know why are you worried about
it? He says weird things. Like he doesn't. To me, he doesn't act like a coach. One day he's saying he's the second best guy on the roster after they're having a competition, and the next day he's saying he's outplayed him. The first couple days of camp, he like You know, just you listen to the comments he was making about Drake May versus like what Dan Quinn saying about Jaden Daniels, and it's night and day. It's like one guy couldn't put him over more. I don't know. The whole thing's been kind of weird. He also has never interviewed for a job, to my knowledge. He just kind of got promised the Patriots job. He's never been a coordinator, which is really weird to me. I think it's kind of unprecedented.
Yeah, well, I think what they're looking at is how he relates to the guys. How he deals in front of the media is one thing. Remember Matt LaFleur's first press conference at the Green Bay Packers? He was terrible, and he's gotten better. I think that Jerod Mayo is still learning how to handle the media and everything. He wasn't a coordinator, so he didn't do those weekly press conferences. But as far as leadership standpoint, and he's got good guys surrounding him as far as experience on his staff, I think things, you know, we'll give him some time. Obviously, he's not going to be as polished at handling this as Dan Quinn would, but he's a former player. He's not polished as a coach, and you know, I'll give him some time. I'm not worried yet, though.
Who's going to pick in the top five?
Oh man, I don't know. I'm not even thinking about that yet. I'm doing my projections for this year and who's going to like be the best threat for the against the Chiefs and things like that.
Yeah, give me who the worst is, Mike. That's what I want.
The better way, maybe, I guess. Who are the terrible teams?
Yeah, who's going to stink?
Who's going to stink? The Raiders are going to stink still. The Broncos still probably aren't going to be very good. I'm trying to think who else is going to be bad. The Minnesota Vikings are going to suck because, you know, Sam Darnold's not very good. The Carolina Panthers could, again, kind of struggle. They got a first-year head coach, and they're starting all over again. We don't know yet what the growth process is going to be like for Bryce Young. And also the New Orleans Saints are probably going to suck, and Spencer Rattler probably is going to wind up taking Derek Carr's job midway through the season, and they'll have a new head coach next year.
Last one real quick after CeeDee Lamb got paid this week. Will Dak get paid before the start of the season, yay or nay? And then do you ultimately think he stays in Dallas on a new deal, or do you think he plays somewhere else?
Well, Jerry Jones told Clarence Hill yesterday that he doesn't feel any pressure to get this deal done before the start of the season. He said, we just don't need to. So I think that's crazy. The more Jerry drags this out, the more this costs him. If I'm Dak, I go ball out and then go somewhere else just to kind of like stick it to him for the way that they've treated him. We'll see. Maybe he loves being in Dallas. Maybe he loves that spotlight. It just depends. If they, midway through the season, wind up getting something done and he's, you know, the richest quarterback and feels good, then maybe so. But if it was me, I would kind of be like, man, forget this. And, you know, I'll wait and get paid and go somewhere that gives me a real opportunity to contend for a Super Bowl, not somebody who's living off their glory of the 90s.
Mike, thank you as always, man. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
I know that you care about this, Danny.
Okay.
So I can't possibly wait. I've got to update you.
Oh, all right.
Marcus Mariota is wearing number 18 at practice.
No.
Number 18.
So he's still on the football team and stuff, and there's nothing changed there?
Jaden Daniels is number 5.
Yeah, we knew that.
Jeff Driscoll, 16. Marcus Mariota, 18.
Hold on one second. Jeff Driscoll is 16?
Yeah.
16.
Yeah.
Got it. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Hit the local 53 sounder, please. Nick Ackridge comes on. And by the way, Nick, this is not your issue. This is a Danny issue. Whenever I go to search Nick Ackridge, I always put that C in Ackridge because of the C in Nick. And this isn't something I've never learned my lesson. So it's like N-I-C-K for Nick. And then Ackridge is just A-K. But I go A-C-K every time. And I'm like, why isn't he coming up? Why is it some weird dude in Duluth, Minnesota that doesn't tweet at all? And where's my football content? I screw it up every time. And you don't have to do anything different. You just live your life. But just know that that's happening. The struggle's on my end. Speaking of struggles.
You're not the first.
Right? Speaking of struggles. There are a lot of who don't predict a whole lot for this roster, talking about here in Washington. Mike Clay's got him basically 29th, fourth worst in the league behind the Giants, the Broncos, and the Patriots, and they weren't active at waiver time. So it seems like internally they think they're pretty good. Externally, folks don't. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I would kind of agree with, you know, the external thoughts. I think we're all kind of waiting to see if they do anything else at wide receiver. You know, after the Dotson trade, we all kind of thought that, you know, maybe something else was coming. I'm not saying Brandon Ayuk, that looks less and less likely, but you just kind of feel like there's some holes here on the roster that could definitely be helped, whether that was making waiver claims, whether that's picking somebody up off the free agent wire. But I think there's definitely some concerns here along the offense, and especially when it comes to just, you know, receiving weapons.
Nick, how did you guys grade out John Ridgeway over the last couple of years in this preseason? Are you surprised that Fidarian Mathis leapfrogged him on the depth chart?
Not really. You know, Ridgeway, he had a really good preseason this year, but he's had 2 years now to kind of really show himself in terms of, you know, playing in, you know, actual meaningful regular season games. And it wasn't great in terms of our grading. You know, the whole kind of defensive line last year was pretty rough. There's a lot of guys kind of, you know, sort of doing their own thing there. So it was pretty tough to grade, but I'm not too surprised in it. I think he's always kind of had some flashes, but I think the kind of down-to-down consistency was lacking a little bit.
You mentioned receiver. If you wouldn't mind, rank the need for upgrades or help in your mind. Three position groups I'll give you and then put them in order. Receiver, corner, and O-tackle. How would you go about ranking them?
Yeah, I'd probably put receiver, corner, and tackle. I think, again, going into the season with, you know, De'Ami Brown and Zaccheaus and then Luke McCaffrey as your next option behind Terry is pretty underwhelming. I mean, De'Ami had a great preseason. We've kind of seen that in the past. I would put wide receiver there and then corner second. I think, again, you're still kind of waiting. You know, I felt like they should have added another piece there at corner, but you know, you still got some young guys there in Forbes and St. Jude's to see if they can kind of turn their careers around.
Statistically, what would be viewed in your mind as a success for year one for Jaden Daniels? Just kind of give me some rough numbers, assuming health.
Yeah, I've kind of shot for like 4,000 combined yards, like passing and rushing. That's kind of, for me, what I'm really kind of looking for. Not 4,000 passing or 1,000 rushing, but kind of, you know, a combined 4,000 is what I would, you know, picture a healthy Jaden Daniels season kind of looking like. And that's, I think, a bit on the lower end, you know, combined if what the hype that they've kind of built up with him is true.
What area do you think is going to be most improved from last year's 4-13 Chibangas to this year's group? Whether it's, you know, position group, you know, whether it's smart time management, any kind of attribute. What do you think is going to be most improved year over year with this huge amount of turnover?
I would say linebacker. I think that was flipped from arguably one of the worst groups in the NFL to now arguably one of the best groups in the NFL when you bring in Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, and you've got Jeremy Chinn that can play kind of a safety linebacker hybrid. And I think you just completely flipped the switch on, you know, what was a pretty poor unit last year to now being one of the league's best. I think linebacker far and away was kind of the biggest flip there.
Thank you for the info. We appreciate you. We'll be tracking the team over at PFF throughout the season, Nick.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Got it. That's Nick Ackridge with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. That is your Beltway Blitz. Over 100 NFL players were polled on a bunch of superlative categories about the quarterback position. Most underrated, most overrated, who talks the most trash. Some fun answers. We'll get to that next right here on The Fan. We're Grant and Danny, and this show is sponsored exclusively by the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. My parents did, and they took great care of my parents. That's why we're sending you guys to our friends, kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. Get a discount, kmlawyers.com. So in the break, we fixed a camera issue.
Oh.
The camera that was on you, Danny, stopped working for some reason, inexplicably, for our 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream.
Right.
Let's clap it up for IT guy, Darris Dameron.
Dad.
He's now graduated to IT. Here's how. He came in, he said, just turn it off and turn it back on.
That's what you do.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, just unplug it. He unplugs it. He's standing there. He's like, I'm just going to wait 5 seconds. He plugged it back in. Started working again. That means he could run like any Fortune 500 company's IT, basically, right?
Once I've done that, I'm pretty much out of solutions for stuff.
That's all you got? Trust me.
Well, and by the way, just as a quick side, 2024, a lot we're capable of. We're doing a lot of new stuff now, right? I've lived in a time before these cellular phones. I lived in a time where if I wanted to call Grant, I had to look up the number and I would dial it. I don't mean push buttons. I mean dial the number.
Oh, do the same.
Seven,
do the thing you like to
rotate
do.
It. Zero, rotate it. Three, rotate it. And then some more numbers would follow. So I've seen it all. We've come a long way. We're still just turning stuff on and off to fix it, to get it to work right. We got to be better than that.
Inexplicably, but amazingly, it works a big percentage of the time.
Yeah.
It's like Sex Panther. 60% of the time, it works every single time, man. And it worked this time. So I just want to say thank you, Dad. We're proud of you.
Love you, Dad.
Way to go, Dad. We're proud of you, Dad.
I would like to credit my IT expertise all the way back to my days of being a young lad in my room playing Nintendo. And sometimes you need to take that cartridge out and blow it.
You're blowing the cartridge.
You got to blow in the cartridge.
Did it do anything? No. But we did it anyway.
Everybody did it.
Darn sure did.
Good job, Dad. You have not seen this yet, Dan.
No, I have not.
I thought this was pretty fun. So this was done by ESPN.com's NFL Nation crew. So they went around to, they said over 100 players, just based on votes. It looks like there were a ton. I'm going to guess it was a couple hundred. But at one point, they said 103 different players from 25 teams, at least as part of this interviewing process. So let's go with that. It was quarterback-specific questions. I'll give you the categories. We'll see if you can guess correctly.
Okay.
All right. How the voting came back in. But this is players who everyone's like, oh, just let players determine all-stars or this or that. Give me a break. They didn't have Patrick Mahomes as the number one player in football in their little top 100 for NFL Network. Kick rocks. Okay. They don't watch the games. They play in the games. Big difference.
Yeah.
But anyway. They asked 103 players, who is the greatest of all time at quarterback? Who's the GOAT? Three different, lots of responses, I guess, but two guys got seven or more votes. Who were they?
Brady, because all these guys are old enough to know.
85 votes.
This is where it's going to be interesting, because these people are young.
This guy got seven votes.
Got seven. I'll say Peyton Manning.
Wrong.
Is there a member? No.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes. Okay.
Second. So everyone else got fewer votes than that. Mm-hmm. We don't have the rest of the list. They were asked to rank the top three current quarterbacks in football. Take Brady out of the equation.
Right.
So who do you think NFL players, over 100 of them, listed as the top three quarterbacks in the league?
Mahomes. I'm going to guess that they said Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
So close. Mahomes, 291 points. I don't know how that happens with 103 players.
Sure, yeah.
Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. second. By the way, number two.
Yep.
A two-time MVP, which I get. But I would not have him second best among quarterbacks on my list, but that's fine. And then Joe Burrow.
Burrow got third. Burrow I was debating third. Between him or Allen.
Other top vote getters, Josh Allen
mm-hmm.
and Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Rounding out the top five. And it was actually kind of close. Burrow got 51 points, however that worked. Allen got 39. Rodgers got 32. If you're Aaron Rodgers, how do you feel about that?
A little bit slighted. Now, granted.
I think you do. I mean, you're a future Hall of Famer. You're in the greatest of all time conversation.
Yeah. You're closer to that than anything. Yeah.
You don't have the hardware with just one Super Bowl ring, but I'm number five. I'm behind four guys currently.
The league turns over so fast that we're now 2 years removed from his back-to-back MVP seasons, and then he had kind of a pedestrian middling year that most people would kill for, by the way. Before he left Green Bay. And then he didn't play last year.
Which rookie quarterback is going to have the most success in their career? Not this season, but who are you buying stock in for the duration of their career? Again, over 100 NFL players were asked this question. Who are the top three answers?
Caleb Williams.
34.
Mm-hmm. Then I'll say Daniels.
30, said Daniels. Uh-huh. Second. Who's third?
The third one. It's probably too simple to say Drake May. I'll say McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
There you go.
With 10. Other top vote getters. Michael Penix of the Falcons with 8. Bo Nix of the Broncos with 8.
And no May there.
No Drake May.
Interesting.
What do you think that is?
I wonder if they recognize the situation is that bad, or, I mean, the only other possibility
players
is
are like
they don't think much of him.
Patriots offensive line?
Maybe.
I don't know. Are they? I'm not sure what that is.
I wonder how many Patriots voters are among that group. It ain't going to work here.
McCarthy won a national championship at Michigan. Famous, right? Coming mm-hmm. into the league. viewed as a winner. Great situation in Minnesota. So I guess I kind of get that one. Williams and Daniels correctly should be the top two. They were the top two picks.
Yep.
And you just saw Daniels win the Heisman Trophy, Williams the year before that. They were superstars collegiately. I just think Penix and Nix is where it really gets interesting. You know, Penix, no problem with anybody liking him. He had an unbelievable year at Washington last year. Played decently in his one preseason game. But most guys haven't seen any highlights or seen that at all. I don't think that's what the vote's about. But Bo Nix.
They see it. They see that Sean Payton pairing.
I guess. But
he found his new Drew Brees.
Again,
I don't know about that, but that's what
that
they think.
Plugged in to kind of talk, like think about like the pairing with the coach. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit analytically. I just think it's like real recognizes real, like, who's a baller, though? Who do I want to see? I mean, Williams, Daniels, McCarthy in that order, okay, fine. Penix is kind of in the cool club because he's on Natty TV a lot, playing at Washington, super accurate. Bo Nix? Again, someone has to help me with that one. I'm just surprised.
He was on TV their entire college careers. For a
That's
couple
true.
Years in the pros,
he did play
maybe.
8,000 yeah. college games. All right, who's the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? Over 100 players polled.
Tua.
Tua comes in tied for second with 10 votes.
Dak?
Dak Prescott.
Didn't make it.
Did not show up on the list.
All right. Trevor Lawrence. Didn't make it either.
Trevor Lawrence is not in the top three on this list.
So I'm trying to think of how the players would think. I disagree with this, but I'm trying to think of them. Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert is not in the top three.
Damn.
Now, by the way, others receiving votes. 9 people said Herbert. He was fourth. 8 people said Lawrence. So you're fishing in the right water.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8.
And Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is not listed.
Not? Damn.
Deshaun Watson, 7. Kyler Murray, 6. Brock Purdy, 6.
So I haven't gotten the top two.
You have not gotten the top two most overrated quarterbacks in the league, according to players.
I'm just running through them in my mind. Okay. Derek Carr.
I don't think he's rated very high.
Yeah. Okay. He's appropriately rated. Jalen Hurts?
2nd.
That's wild to me.
10 players said he's overrated.
Damn. Okay. The number one overrated guy. Geno Smith.
No, think about the top three that
Brock Purdy.
No, I already said him.
Crap.
Think about the top three that they had and how it was different from your list.
No, I'm confused.
You said someone in the top three that players didn't have.
So then they're saying someone that I don't have. Is that what you mean?
Josh Allen was the 3rd best quarterback earlier. They had Joe Burrow and not Allen in the top three. Josh Allen is the most overrated quarterback in the league, according to players.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. That's 11.
They know that's wrong, right? Do you think they know it's wrong?
Apparently not. 11 players said him, 10 said Hurts and Tua, and then 9 said Herbert, 8 said Lawrence. Pretty close.
Josh Allen is overrated. Wow. Okay.
Who's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL, according to over 100 players? We'll go through more of these superlatives next, right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Clary and I just decided during the break that the number 12 is the best number for a quarterback. So we got that figured out. Whatever's next on the itinerary today, we could do that.
Okay.
But Clary and I have just decided. My point is, I don't like high teens numbers for QBs generally.
Why not?
Aesthetics. I don't love how it looks. I know Peyton Manning, my favorite quarterback of all time, wore 18. It's not a bad number. I just don't love it on a QB. I think I like single digits, fine. 4, 5, 6, 7.
Like you couldn't do a 9, couldn't do a little Sonny.
I don't love 9 for some reason.
Well, a little 7, a little Theismann, a little Elway.
7 plays. I think 7's a good quarterback number. Okay. I think, honestly, 4 to 7. 4 to 8 even. I'll give you 8. 9 I don't like. And then 10 to 12 is the wheelhouse. 10, 11, or 12, let's do that. That should be your saved for your 3 quarterbacks on your depth chart. 10, 11, and 12. Everyone else, figure something else
out. I
feel
like 10 doesn't look very good. Just as a jersey number in general, 10 is not a good-looking number.
Oh, I disagree. Bobby 3 Sticks?
Yeah.
sitting on the carpet in New Orleans, right on his butt with his fingers in the air.
Would it look better with two ones doing the double ones?
I don't know.
11?
I think 10's an outstanding number. Quarterback number? That's a good number.
That to me is a flanker in a wishbone type offense. That's a guy that they won't call him a wide receiver because he like goes in motion but comes back just to dive at the legs of the linebacker. Like, that's a number 10 to me.
I think a number 10 is Miss Davis in her second job.
Mm-hmm.
When she's not at school. Right. She's not coaching up the youth anymore.
100 points control the board. What was the name of the song that she played?
Oh, I would have no idea.
There's a theme to it. There's a reason why it's so funny.
I can't do it.
What's the band?
I also don't know that.
Okay, it's Van Halen.
Okay. Living on a Prayer.
They didn't sing that one. Okay. Hot for Teacher. You see the bit?
Okay.
Because so, Ms. Davis is a teacher, but she's not teaching right now.
Very good.
Or she kind of is.
I can't name a Van Halen song.
Say Hot for Teacher.
Hot for Teacher.
You named one.
Thank you. Who's the most underrated quarterback? That's the next category we'll hit. By the way, before we get back to this, I should point out, top of the hour, 5 o'clock, Adam Peters press conference. Dan Quinn was there as well. They're answering questions on the roster cutdown, all the big decisions. We will let you guys hear what they had to say, and then we will dissect and analyze everything that they broke down after that in the 5 o'clock hour. But that's coming up in about 12 minutes, so make sure you're listening right here on Grant and Danny. 103 players in the NFL were polled anonymously, all things quarterback, bunch of superlatives. We went through a plethora of the categories already. We're now at the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. There were a bunch of guys listed here because there was a four-way tie for third. But of the six names, I'll give you credit for whatever you got. Who were the top vote getters for most underrated quarterback?
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford tied for first at 14.
Nailed it. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, who you said earlier was overrated.
Right. I know he's overrated, but players don't get this stuff right.
Tied for third with 7.
Nailed that. Brock Purdy on their list.
Brock Purdy, number 1, 14, tied with Stafford.
Crushing over here. Geno Smith.
Geno Smith is not on the list.
This is the underrated group. Jordan Love.
Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers with 7. By 7, I mean the number of players.
The number of players
who said he's the most underrated, which tied him for third.
Baker Mayfield? My voice went up there.
Baker Mayfield did not make the list. Glad to know you're a Baker guy, though.
Well, I'm trying to think of who I could like argue is underrated. I think he's very appropriately rated. He had a nice season. Let's leave it at that.
You've got Purdy, Stafford, Goff, Love. You're missing the two guys that had 7 players say they're the most underrated quarterback in the league.
Tua?
Tied for third. Tua is way down in others receiving votes, had 4 guys.
Kirka?
Kirko Chains. 7, tied for third with Goff, Love, and this player that you haven't named yet.
I haven't named this underrated quarterback.
And I actually think you'll never get this guy, and we might want to move on.
Okay, we can move.
Bryce Young.
Yeah, but do they know that's wrong?
So here's my logic. This is all I could come up with. I think there's 7 guys out of 103 who think everyone thinks this guy's horrendous, worst quarterback in the league. He's awful. He stinks. And they're going, that's a situational issue. He was a victim. Okay. It was a terrible ownership, coaching, relationship, bad offense.
Which it was.
He's actually not nearly as bad as people think. Or maybe there's 7 Panthers who really like
that's him. My guess. There's 7 Panthers.
That's not how sampling should work, though.
No.
Of a 103-player sample, 7...
We can't fix this. 7 Panthers sent this back.
...are from one team? This one's fun. The biggest trash-talking quarterback in the NFL. I got 3 names here. Someone got 26 votes, like way, way, way out in front.
Because it's no longer Phil Rivers. That was the one seed.
Then 17 and then 15, 1, 2, and 3.
Mahomes.
Mahomes is 4th with 11.
Oh, I missed it. I could see Josh Allen chirping a little bit.
26.
After he runs your butt over, letting you know he ran you over.
Number 1 trash talking quarterback in the NFL. I don't ever remember him trash talking.
He barks a little bit.
I saw this like poll and I even saw him tweet. He had a funny video he posted and said, "You're telling me I was voted as the number 1 best trash talker? Let's go." He was really excited. I just don't remember that at all.
Other than him, that's hard.
2 guys here that the league thinks talk a lot. Because they're pretty decidedly 2nd and 3rd.
Burrow.
No. Mm. Burrow at 4 is listed 5th.
Okay.
By the way, sneaky, CJ Stroud, a rookie quarterback last year, is on this list.
Is on there?
Four guys saying he talks a lot.
Because once he gets around the league a couple times, everyone plays him. Exactly. He'll probably jump up some. Thinking of guys that like let you know that it just happened. Rodgers.
15 for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think he got that, if nothing else, from one moment on Hard Knocks. Do you remember? I don't even remember who the guy was. Some defensive end was like jawing at Aaron Rodgers after, because he shoved him like pretty late after like a screen pass in the preseason. And Rodgers goes, dude, that's BS. Don't do that. Like, don't get anybody hurt out here. And the guy's talking trash to him. And Rodgers goes, I don't even know who you are. I've never even heard of you. I don't even know you. You know me. I guarantee you know me. I don't know you. It's just great. But he's third. I got one other guy here.
Okay. Who chirps a little bit. Who lets you know that it just happened.
Who's kind of an annoying bro that you wouldn't want to hang out with?
Baker Mayfield.
17 for Baker Mayfield.
When you said annoying bro, that's what I pictured.
Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers, the best trash-talking quarterbacks. Those are all the categories we got.
I think I did okay.
You did really well.
Yeah. There are a couple holes in the game. But stuff like that's always interesting to me. Not as a definitive, but just as what's perceived, right? And that's not scientific by any stretch. It's a fraction of respondents reporting. Like, you know, it's 1/100th of the precinct, so to speak. And there are thousands of NFL players. But that's funny to think about, are those kinds of, not funny, but those sorts of, this is what those inside who have to prepare, play with, play against, etc., what they think of the other guys around the league.
Rapid fire, let's give our answers to all of these. Greatest of all time.
Joe Montana.
I'll say Peyton Manning. Top three quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I'll go Mahomes, Allen, Burrow.
Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. Injury's the only reason that Burrow's just lower than that.
Rookie quarterback who's going to have the best career.
Williams.
I'd love to go Drake May, but I can't in New England. I'll go Caleb Williams. And Jaden Daniels is right there too, but I'll go Caleb Williams. Most overrated quarterback in the NFL.
Jerk off.
Tua Tagovailoa. Most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Matt Stafford.
I would say Kirko or Matty Stafford. He's gotten a lot more love since he did that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not him anymore. Where do I go? Jordan Love. I'll say Matt Stafford. I think that's a good one. Biggest trash-talking QB.
Hard for me to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, for all those quarterbacks we talk trash with.
I always feel like it's Mahomes, who's just so matter-of-fact. And then, like when the touchdown happens, like, I'm different, y'all. Like, that'd be annoying to me.
My first answer would be Baker Mayfield. I think he's always jawing at
people.
You can
always see him. Like, his head moves a lot, you know?
He's not only vocal, but just kind of, it's loud movements with his neck and head, his helmet's bobbing around.
Exactly.
I'm good on him. He had a good year last year.
He had a great year last year, man.
Earned his money, $100 million. All right, Adam Peters, GM of the Commanders, a rare press conference. He and Dan Quinn talked about forming the roster. You will hear that next right here on The Fan.